Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/musicspeaks. That's betterhelp.com/musicspeaks for 10% off your first month. And thank you again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use code MusicSpeaks at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan. Hi, and welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast. I'm Amanda Dolan. I'm here with my co-host, James Cox, and today we are joined by Patty Spadaro. Patty brings a hopeful outlook to her introspective and heartfelt songwriting. Her guitar style has a soulful, fluid, jam band feel, highlighted by improvisation and stretching out live performances to create musical magic. Patty says it's all about the music and making connection, bringing people together, letting loose, and being in the here and now. Her band's live shows create a space where the music, a unifying force, cuts through the everyday and connects right to the core, making the audience an integral part of her musical journey. While living in LA, Patty showcased her versatility by releasing 3 albums and playing LA's famous clubs, beach bars, and festivals. Her roots called her back to Pennsylvania to raise her family. Since returning, she's released 2 albums and continues to record and perform. Patty's diverse interests are not limited to just music. She also teaches college courses in yoga, meditation, and mindfulness in music. Her most recent single, Glass Shatters, was released just this last week. So, Patty, thank you so much for being here with us. Hey, Patty. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So,
well, first thing I want to ask you that Amanda doesn't know about is, I'm sure she does, is you are a PRS guitar player. Am I correct?
Yes. Paul Reed Smith. Yeah. My favorite guitars.
I just got one.
You were the second artist in a row.
Yeah. Oh. I just got one last week and I'm trying to learn how to play again. And it's been wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got one hanging on my wall back there.
My microphone is. I have a Seagull. Acoustic, yeah. Not,
yeah. Yeah.
I have an acoustic. That's just my.
So
I'm not good at it yet.
How long have you played with PRSs?
I started with, I got my first PRS, I think it's 1993. And that's the year the guitar was made. So I still have it. That's actually the maroon one I have.
Nice.
I've been playing that one ever since. Recently, I picked up a 98, just like last year or so, a used one. Just because I love those 90... Yeah. You know, the 90 years were really great, in my opinion, with the Paul Reed Smiths. So,
well, 90s had like the best music ever because you had Alanis Morissette back then, Green Day, the Matthews Band, all the bands that you like. Because I've seen your little list of bands you like, and I'm amazed.
So I want to talk about Glass Shatters for just a minute because it's, you know, brand new. It's definitely like, you know, it's a tribute to women and breaking that glass ceiling, you know, overcoming some of those obstacles that women face.
Right.
So I'm curious what inspired you to write that song right now? Like,
well, I've been working on that song for a couple of years. And I remember, we were still in the pandemic, I guess, and watching the inauguration and Kamala Harris being sworn in as our first female vice president. And that felt pretty inspiring to me. Like, yay, we're finally, at least we're a vice president. President someday, maybe, but at least we're a vice president.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to kind of go out and party with all my friends, but of course, you know, we're still kind of pandemic-y and not getting together too much. So, I don't know, I just started writing about it and, thinking about my own self and my own challenges, you know, being a woman, a guitar player, there's not a whole lot of us, especially when I was younger. When I was in music school, there was really just what I can remember is three female guitar players and like 700 guys at Musicians Institute where I went to school. So, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge for us women, and but we're breaking some ceilings and hopefully we will continue with progress and continue to shatter those glass ceilings.
Definitely think that that is a true statement, that glass ceilings are being shattered. My mom was in corporate America growing up, and I remember riding with her to the very top floor, and I looked at her, I was probably 5 or 6, and I said, "Mommy, why are the women sitting outside the offices and the men inside?" And that has changed, I think, dramatically since, you know, that would have been the early 80s.
Right.
I still have that very vivid memory of men were the executives and women were not.
Right.
And you have two daughters, right?
Yes, I have two daughters.
So,
and they're... One just graduated college. The other one's in college, both science majors, both doing well. So another field that's kind of women have been lagging in science. But now, you know, more and more of our girls and young women are getting into those scientific fields and careers, which is great.
And you were in the science field for a while there, right?
Yeah. Yep, I got my bachelor's degree in physics from Drexel University in Philadelphia. Yeah, I always kind of wondered like how things work. So I had this curiosity, which led me to major in physics. And then I worked some a little bit in the field of physics, but music was always like kind of calling to me. My dad was a musician. I think it's kind of in my blood.
Yeah.
So I decided to take another year of school, go out to California, and devote. I did like a 12-month program at Musicians Institute. And I was really hooked on it then, just playing with all kinds of people out in LA and found a band and started touring and recording. Been playing with bands ever since.
That's awesome. I know you're in a band called Women on Top as well, right? Is that another, or is it a
Yeah, a
jam?
couple of the women who sang some of the harmony parts and stuff in my song Glass Shatters, every once in a while we get together, like everybody's in separate bands, and we all try to get together a couple of times a year, and perform 2, 3 times a year. I'd like to do it more often, but it's hard to get everybody's schedules organized and
Yeah.
together. But yeah, that's a lot of fun where we'll have like four women harmonizing together, and I'll play electric guitar, and my friend Sherilyn Hawk, who's also on the Glass Shatters recording, she plays acoustic guitar and percussion, and she sings.
You've been in bands for, yeah, I was going to say decades, but that may date us. But you've been in bands for a long time. So how is it different playing with women versus men?
Well, I love playing with guys too.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, yeah, it can be a little challenging when it's all guys and me. Then it's like, yeah, I feel a little bit like the outsider. But I've been in situations where I'm the Patti Spadaro band for a lot of our gigs. It was just me and like three or four guys. And that worked well too. I enjoy playing with the guys as well. But it's nice to have another woman on board or several women on board. We have that camaraderie and we can relate as women.
Yeah, that's awesome. So James, do you have questions that you want to hop in with? You've been
Yeah,
quiet.
so.
It's not your
Yeah, well, my board messed up, so I'm sorry about that, y'all. Well, we got it working now. So you taught music is so you've been on in a music institute, right?
Well, at Musicians Institute, I was a student.
Okay,
And I
so
graduated from there. And after that, I was performing and recording and touring, but I also did I taught guitar lessons when I was not touring. So I was like 3 days a week at a music store near where I lived. So I had students of all ages, like, from like 7 to 70.
yeah.
So that was fun. That was an experience too, and a little on a way to earn a little extra money and to share my musical knowledge with guitar students.
Yeah. So you're an interesting person because you worked in physics before studying yoga, meditation, and music, So what prompted that shift to get out of the yoga and from physics to music, how did that transition for
Yeah,
you?
well, yeah, like as I mentioned, after getting my degree in physics and working a little bit, I really have always had the drive to play music. I've been playing since I was 11 years old.
Okay.
I was kind of encouraged by my parents to get a real degree where I could get a real job and make real money.
Yeah.
So I picked physics, and then I just wanted to expand with the music a little bit. I told myself, well, I'll give myself a year out in LA. I'll see how it goes. I ended up spending 10 years out in LA. I just loved it, and while I was out there, I just started taking a yoga class like once a week.
Right.
just for myself, a way to relax, relieve stress, exercise a little bit. And I really liked that. So I've just continued, and that's grown too. When I moved back to Pennsylvania, found a yoga studio here, kept taking yoga classes, started taking meditation classes, eventually decided to do the teacher training program and get certified to teach yoga. So now I teach yoga and meditation as well as, nice. As play guitar and write songs and all that.
That's awesome. So when I was looking you up, I saw two words that I wasn't really aware of. And I would like you to kindly please tell me and my audience what it is. Mindful music. What is mindful music?
I teach a course at the college where I teach yoga and meditation. I teach a course called Mindfulness in Music. And mindfulness, you may have heard of just mindfulness. It's a kind of a way of meditating, just being really present in the moment, paying attention to what you're doing, breathing, what you're feeling. Oftentimes we multitask, right? We're scrolling at our phones while we're talking to somebody, while music is going on, while the TV's on in the background, while somebody's talking to us from across the room. So the idea behind mindfulness is just to focus on one thing at a time, basically, and also to be in tune with your body, like to breathe, notice how your body's feeling in the moment, notice where your head's going, if it's kind of focused on what you're doing or if it's spinning off into random thoughts. So I developed a course called Mindfulness in Music. And, you know, I asked the college if I could teach it there, and they said yes. And that's bringing that idea of mindfulness into performing music. A lot of musicians get stage fright. We get nervous. It's hard to get up in front of a whole bunch of people. And with mindfulness, there's techniques you can use to help calm the nerves, to help pay attention a little bit more deeply to what you're playing, to help when you're improvising. You know, so if your mind is thinking about something else, it's hard to put everything you have right into the music. So that's what mindfulness in music is about.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
That mindfulness is something I struggle.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think so we all much. Struggle with mindfulness and, you know.
Yeah. That's why it's good to have a course, and it's more like a practice. We just talk for a little bit, and then we practice breathing for a little bit. And then we, you know, try things like mindful eating or mindful walking, or we'll listen to a musician talking about how they practice and how they perform, what they like to do to calm their nerves.
There you go.
Yeah. I like that practice, kind of like a yoga practice. Like it's right. You're never really done. It's not perfection. It's what works best for you.
Exactly. You don't learn yoga and then say, okay, I know that pose well. It's trying to, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. I know it. We practice it over and over, just like riding a bike, you know, doing it. That's kind of what it is, rather than just perfecting.
I got a quick question for you about mindfulness and audience members you mentioned before. Now, me, I get kind of nervous around three or four people, but in a crowd, I'm fine. Are you that same way? And what is it about the lesser people that makes us nervous? If it's the same way with you.
Interesting. I tend to be the opposite.
Okay.
I tend to be a little more comfortable with smaller numbers of people, and then I get nervous with bigger numbers.
Okay.
But I guess it's just everybody's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, if you can remember to just take a few deep breaths,
breathe, it's gonna be okay. You're right.
Just being okay. Like if you notice, oh, my hands are shaking. Instead of like trying to force them to stop shaking, sometimes that makes it worse, you know?
Right.
But if you just notice, oh, my hands are shaking, okay. And part of mindfulness is like this idea of non-judgment. So we're not making ourselves wrong for being nervous. We're just, oh, I'm nervous, okay. Oh, my hands are shaking a little bit. okay, doesn't really mean anything. It's just something that's happening. I'm just aware of something that's happening. And I'm going to breathe because it feels good to breathe and know that I'm safe in this environment, and try to just proceed from that state of mind.
There you go.
That sounds a lot like, or like a piece of self-compassion, which is, you know, kind of a, you know, okay, I'm anxious. Like, it makes sense that I'm anxious because this is going on, but I'm safe and I'm here present in this moment. And so I'm just going to be here and know that, like, it's okay that I'm having these feelings, emotions, physical reactions to things.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Some self-compassion. That's a big part of mindfulness. Compassion for yourself, compassion for other people.
Yeah, I think it's always so much easier to show compassion for others than ourselves.
Yeah.
We are sometimes our hardest, our biggest critics, if you will, especially women, I think, are like, not that men, trust me, men are critical of themselves too. But those messages that we sometimes receive as a woman that we have to play small or not really take up all of our space that we are.
Right. Yeah. And self-compassion can be a practice too. You know, just spend 2 minutes every day giving yourself a little self-love, self-compassion.
Yes. And I'm curious, you know, with, you know, music, we all have the different, you know, musics that we love. Is there a music that for whoever is a better, I don't love that word, but like, you know, one that helps create more mindfulness than another type of music? Or is it really what you love the most is, and whatever is going to do the best for you as an individual?
Right. I think it's kind of individual preference. Like, some people like to practice mindfulness just for being really listening to relaxing music, relaxing, maybe laying down on a yoga mat or laying down in bed or something with nice relaxing music going on. That can be a great way to relax, but other people might get bored or antsy, like with just real calm music, and they prefer something to get them up and moving. So it kind of depends. And in the course that I teach, we listen to a whole bunch of different styles, and I have students bring in songs, some of their favorite songs.
Because I'm one of those that struggles with it being still.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because for me, road trips are, I think, when I'm the most mindful with music in particular. And I think it's because there are fewer distractions, right? I can't be looking at my phone. And especially if I'm by myself, I don't have a kid or a dog or email pinging or whatever it is. So I appreciate my time in the car with music.
Focus on the music.
So how do you, like, you own a yoga studio or work?
I did for a while, about 7 years.
So how do you incorporate your yoga along with meditation, mindfulness, and music? How do all those fit together?
Well, that's a good question. Like during the school year, I'm teaching most mornings. So I'm teaching yoga and meditation like Monday through Thursday. And then I have my mindfulness and music class two days a week, two afternoons a week. So that's kind of my yoga and meditation time. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm doing all the music stuff, which involves a lot. You know, it's writing, it's practicing, it's organizing rehearsals, it's trying to find gigs, it's updating my social media profile, recording, you know, filming a video, all that stuff. Just takes time but I like to bring those concepts, especially performing together or recording, those concepts of just breathing and relaxing and being really present in the moment, maybe stretching out a little bit before playing, I think the being able to like breathe and relax and be present can really enhance the music, especially in live situations, and can kind of build up that positive energy. I always kind of feel better after I practice some yoga or teach some yoga. It kind of gives me a little boost. So doing a little bit of yoga or just some breathing before a performance can give people that boost and give me that boost. And if I'm in a good mood, then, you know, can spill out onto the audience. And if they're excited, it can spill back onto the band and we can build that energy together. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I do have a question for you. I do have a fun question for you. Ever since you've been touring, you know, playing bars, clubs, festivals, which one did you like playing the most at? Like festivals were like, is the festivals a lot different than clubs or bars, or which one did you like better or more?
Yeah. Kind of depends on the venue and the sound system and the audience. You know, there have been some festivals that have been really a lot of fun. I like playing with jam bands where we can kind of improvise and stretch out the music for a while. That's really fun for me. It depends. I've had special moments, you know, I like house concerts where there's, you know, 25 people there, but everybody's listening and excited that you're right there with them. And I've had special moments in at big festivals. So, you know, and then I've had some, you know, there's some other situations where something's gone wrong and it's not as fun as it could be, or everybody's tired or whatever.
I think I think all musicians deal with something breaking down or show didn't go right as they wanted to, this and that. So yeah, I totally understand that point of your touring. Good stuff.
You know, when you were talking about the improvisation and stretching things out, that makes me think of that, like mindfulness and connection, right? Like you've got to be with like the music, right? You can't be in with the people you're with on stage. You can't be, you know, checking out the audience a lot or thinking about what your grocery list is.
Right.
So,
Yeah. You have to be really focused on the music and practiced enough that you can just kind of let go. So you learn the songs well, and you learn the scales well, and you rehearse together. And then ideally you can get up on stage and kind of let go of all that thinking involved and just play and just be in the moment, kind of get into the zone. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
And be connected with the world around you.
Yeah, connecting with the other musicians on the stage and with the audience.
Yeah. Just kind of being in that moment.
Right.
So looking back at the bands you've listened to, and I love them all, you know, I'm a 90s, I was born in the 80s, raised in the 90s, so 90s is where I'm at, you know. But if you could pick four bands to go on your Mount Rushmore, who would they be?
Well, it's not all 90s music. I mean, I love some of the 70s, like Grateful Dead. I love the Grateful Dead.
Which very much a jam.
Yeah. A lot. What was that?
Again, both of those very much jam, you know,
right.
Stretching the music out kinds of bands.
Let's see. I do like the Dave Matthews Band a lot.
Okay.
And I don't know. I would say Natalie Merchant. I like her vocals a lot. Like, I feel like I can sing similar to the way she sings.
She's great.
Like you said, and I'm like, I want to go listen to her more. I haven't listened, you know, because you get stuck, I think, or not stuck, but you start finding different music and new music. And for me, sometimes the classics fall a little bit by the wayside. So thinking about like Natalie Merchant and that, which was, she was definitely someone I listened to growing up. What band artist posters did you have on your walls in your like childhood adolescent bedroom?
I think I had Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, like I like those blues guitar players a lot. Eric Clapton, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix is a big one, yeah.
Yeah. I used to listen to Led Zeppelin and Yes. And yeah, just rock out to the classic rock and the blues, learn those blues riffs on the guitar.
We have some overlap there.
You're kind of like us, because me, I grew up listening to country because that's what my parents raised me on. And then all from high school days, it's nothing but metal and rock and roll. Now it's everything. I get a little something from here, there, So I just grab, take and pick which ones. But yes, all music is good music, It really depends on what you gravitate towards, also. So yeah. So
Makes so much.
oh yeah, go
Sorry,
ahead. Okay.
just say it makes so much sense that you love the jam, the improv with those artists that you just talked about, both in your Mount Rushmore and who was on your walls. So clearly, that is what sounds like that's what inspired you. Curious, when did you start playing guitar? What was like, how old are you?
I started when I was 11.
So, yeah, that is, I
That's
think that's
young,
amazing
yeah.
because I think a lot of, I didn't feel like growing up that like guitar was like a girl instrument. I know that sounds.
Yeah, I think my older brother had, just kind of a beat up guitar, acoustic guitar, and my dad being a musician. He was a flute player, excuse me, and he taught like elementary band and woodwinds, and so I think I just started picking up my brother's guitar and playing around with it, and then they got me some guitar lessons, and I just took it from there.
Nice, yeah.
So music is in your blood.
Yes,
Yeah.
it is,
And you
it
said your daughters are in like the sciencey fields, but are they musicians as well?
is. Yeah, the older one, she played violin. She's very musical. It's not so much now, but like she started in second grade, I think, took some violin lessons at school and then went into the orchestras and stuff. And then she ended up, we have a kind of a local orchestra in our town, but then also she got a couple of slots at the Pittsburgh Symphony, Pines Hall. They did two student side-by-side concerts where they chose students out of the whole greater Pittsburgh area to come and play with the Pittsburgh Symphony at Heinz Hall, which is a beautiful theater where the symphony performs at. And the Pittsburgh Symphony is amazing. I mean, they're just, and Heinz Hall is amazing. And I was jealous because, like, wow, you're playing Heinz Hall with the Pittsburgh Symphony when she was in high school.
Right.
So that was really cool that she got that opportunity to do that twice, actually. They
Ooh. Yeah.
had
That
that
is.
like a student side-by-side program where they kind of mentored them a little bit and had some rehearsals, and then they had the dress rehearsal and then the concert, which was really great. And then my other daughter plays a little bit saxophone. They were actually both in marching band. The one
Okay.
who plays violin played flute in marching band, and the other daughter played saxophone in marching band in high school. I think it's great that kids learning music, however it turns out to be, whether they continue after school or not. I think it's just a great opportunity and something great thing to learn. And that marching band gave them some, something to be a part of, which was really nice.
And I stand by this. I've said this before. I think music and math go hand in hand. And then I would imagine too, like the marching band piece as well, right? You've got to do lots of counting. And then there's even some like bright geometry going on there because you got to know what angles to move and That is like, it is a skill. I mean, that is like, it is hard work.
It
That's,
is.
You know, at our schools here, that is can count as your like athletics or PE credit if you're in marching band, because it's that, it really is that physically, you know, intensive.
It's a workout.
So we talk a lot about like mental health, mental well-being here. So I always ask this.
Actually, I got two more questions, and I gotta ask you this. So so have you been singing ever since you picked up a guitar, or did that come later? Because I wanted to talk to you about vocal health. What do you take to make sure your vocal cords are safe and sound? And if you could, please let us know what we can do, or what's good and what's bad for your voice.
Singing came later.
Right.
Guitar was kind of my main thing. And when I went out to Musicians Institute in Hollywood, that was for guitar. I enrolled in their guitar program. And then when I graduated from there and started playing with bands out in LA, it's like, well, we need someone to sing this little harmony part. Can you do it? So I just started on my own learning some just little parts. And then that grew as I became more of a songwriter. You know, I had to kind of learn to sing at least well enough to show a singer how to sing my song.
Right.
And eventually I just wanted to sing my own song. So I did take some vocal lessons out in California. And then here in Pittsburgh, I've taken vocal lessons as well. I have someone I still work with now and then to, you know, especially before I go into the studio to record something, I'll take it into her and she'll help me tweak things and work on my breathing. So vocal health, I would say warming up is hugely important. And, you know, learning how to breathe, diaphragmatic breathing, doing little things like lip trills, you know, like the those kind of things going up and down the scales, kind of getting up high until you register. And breathing, just kind of taking a deep breath down into the belly and doing those kind of S sounds, Z sounds. Those are really important, I think. And just being, you know, mindful, noticing if you're starting to strain or if it feels uncomfortable or if you feel heat in your voice, in your throat, then to back off a little bit. Make sure you're vocal monitors are loud enough so you can hear yourself well, so you don't have to yell over the band that's behind you that's so loud.
Right.
Those kind of things.
So what are stuff that people can drink? Because I've heard that pineapple juice is perfect for your voice.
I don't know. I like to drink little green tea with honey. I don't know if that's the best thing or not. I know that kind of warm temperatures is good, not too hot. The warm is better than like an ice cold beverage right before you sing.
Nice.
A lot of water, staying hydrated is good.
Yeah. Amanda?
Oh, no, I was just. How you talked about breathing and then also that noticing, like almost being present in your body and feeling.
Yeah, noticing if you're tensing up or your voice is tensing up or the body's tensing up. Letting it relax, maybe stretching
a
little bit.
The mindfulness and the meditation.
See,
the other thing that I have not heard, and all the people we've talked to, is making sure that like you can hear, like you are loud enough, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I never thought about like the importance of that, and then that kind of goes back. It made me go back to women's voices being heard and being amplified again.
Right.
Sorry, full circle moment there. I just all of a sudden I was like, huh. We're often, you know, not always silenced, but we, you know, quieter. And you just said like being loud enough and hearing ourselves enough keeps us healthier.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just notice that. So
okay, so we do have one more question and then we'll let you go. We thank you for so much for coming on once again. So is there an artist, an album, or a song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or your family or Amanda how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? That's probably the hardest question we ask.
Is there an artist or a song that I can listen to and I can't tell you how it feels?
It's like that
means so much.
Like whatever, it just fills you up in a way. It's that go back to when you're having a bad day or a good day, or you just need inspiration. Like, is there that one
inspirational? I think I like Ripple by the Grateful Dead. It's one of my favorites.
Nice.
I don't know if you're familiar, but nice, easy going, feel good quality to it. You know,
I'm just giggling because I remembered you've said the Grateful Dead a couple times now, and my son, when he was little, I would listen to the Grateful Dead and he would ask me to turn on the Dead People.
The Dead People.
And he meant the Grateful Dead.
but he
called them the Dead People. And sorry, it was just funny things kids say.
There you go.
The Dead People. So
Dead People, that's funny. It's funny.
Thank you so much, Patty, for gracing us with your presence and your knowledge and wisdom. Going to work on practicing some more mindfulness and breathing.
Yes. Is there any kind of like are you working on like albums or more single songs or like what do you have coming up?
Yeah, I've got a second single that's in the works that we're maybe about halfway done recording, and some other songs that we're not as far along with. That I've been working on and hoping to get a few more live performances on the books too. I'd like to get out there playing live a little more often.
Nice.
And people can find you on your website.
Website.
PattySpadaro.com. Right. SPADARO. Nice. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram and
all the
normal places. Right. Yeah.
Spotify and Apple Music.
Are we on TikTok? Or no,
barely. I'm barely on TikTok. I have an account, but I haven't put the single up on that yet.
TikTok is the hardest platform.
Instagram, I'm on Instagram.
Yeah, it's hard for me to understand. But we honestly thank you so much for coming on. Give a big thanks to Michael when you talk to him, and please come back anytime you want to. We would love to have you back.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And everybody listening, always remember, when words fail,
music speaks.